in verse 24. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. I'm going to preach this message this morning as a father to a son. And my son is here, so if everybody else was gone and we could just sit down, I would preach this message just to him this morning. And I would want to tell him, as he looks at me, he says, you know, I would want to tell him what Paul said to us in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. He said this, O wretched man that I am. That's Romans 7, verse 24. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the Lord of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I was so grateful that Paul wrote it that way. has anybody in here wanted to fix? Has anybody in here wanted to fix their kids? Has anybody in here wanted to do the work of God in their kids? Like I'm going to save them. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to give them everything they're going to need to get to God. I preached a message here not long ago. It's probably been less than a year. It's called Don't Tell Your Story Too Soon. Anybody remember that one? I'm going to add a word to it. Don't tell your kid's story too soon. Don't tell your kid's story too soon. And when you tell your story, tell the whole story to your kids. See, if Paul would have wrote all of Romans and all the other books of the New Testament, we would have said, man, that's hard to live with. That's hard to do. That's hard to be like him. But when he wrote Romans chapter 7, he said, there's a man on the inside that wars against the other man on the inside, and oh, wretched man that I am. With the spirit I serve God, and with my flesh I serve sin. And I would tell my son, I would say, you've seen a lot of good years, but there was a day when I was thirsty for Jesus. There was a day when I was thirsty in this world, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know how much I needed him or how much I wanted him. I didn't even realize how messed up my life was. Today I wore a suit. I wore a nice dress shirt. I wore nice dress shoes. I cover up who I really am on the inside a lot of times. I've got scars. I've got a past. Oh, wretched man that I am. This morning I woke up. We've got an indoor cat. Okay, let's change that. My wife has an indoor cat. I've got a really cool dog. Amen? You should come meet him someday. He's just awesome. But this indoor cat has lived with us for the last 12 years. Maybe she's on life 8 and a half or something like that. Well, recently she's been wanting to get out and explore Hendon. That's where I live now. Anyway, Donnie, you get that. Nobody else gets it. So we let her out every once in a while, and she runs out, and she'll come back in when something scares her, right? And part of me's always wondering if she's ever going to come back in, but never mind. That's a different thing. Well, this morning she came back in, but she's looking back out the window, and I was drinking my cup of coffee trying to get started, and looked over and she's just tensely staring out the window. So I'm like, man, she's seen something. So I walked over there, and there was a deer standing right next to our porch. I mean, literally right next to the porch. And it kind of solidified what God was doing, so God can even use a cat in a message. Oh, worthless cats. Sorry. If you're a cat lover, I'm sorry. I'm brutal. Somebody's going to send me an email. Preachers that don't love cats aren't right or something. But Psalm 42 reads like this, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? As the deer, as the hart, panteth after the water brooks. Man, before I met Jesus, I was dehydrated. Amen? I had no spiritual water in me. There was nothing good about me. Amen? And it reminded me of about four or five different people. The first one was the blind man in John chapter 9. He was born with no eyes. In John chapter 9, the disciples and Jesus passed by, and they seen him, and they said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" Has anybody ever put you in that category? Oh, gosh. He's so jacked up. Who did it, him or his parents? Have you ever felt like that, parents in here, that maybe you messed up on something so your kids are so messed up? That's not God. That's the enemy. Amen? See, what I was thinking about is Jesus came along to a man who had no eyes. And he did one of the most amazing miracles. He took some dirt and he spat in it. And some of y'all get aggravated because I preach that a lot here. But that is one of the coolest stories in the Bible. It tells you that he's just the same as God, because God made us from the dust of the earth. And guess what? He can make parts from the dust. That's pretty cool. Scientists also, we can do just like God. I would like God just to walk by some scientists and pour out a little handful of dust on their desk and go, "Get started." Hey, man, just go ahead and get started, buddy. That's what I'm working with. But what I was thinking about is, what in the end of that story, Jesus heals the man, and he goes away with his sight, and everybody recognized that he got new eyes. I wonder if his kids later down in life, or his family, or maybe even some friends would look at him, and they would go, "Man, them some good-looking eyes, man, or you've got really good vision." I bet he would say something like this, like I would say to my son, "Hey, son, I can see you. I can see you. I see you growing up. I see you doing good. I see you struggle. I see your life. Man, I see you. I see you clearly. But there was a day when I sat in the dark. There was one day I sat in complete darkness. I was lost and undone. I know I'm pointing out things now. I'm steering. I'm going in the direction. I'm doing the things. I'm going to work. But there was a day, son, but let me tell you this, that I was so blind that I didn't even have any eyes." See, you want your kids to change, but you won't tell them where you came from. One of the greatest things that Moses did for the children of Israel, he said, every single time when the year of Passover comes, have the Passover lamb in your home. Slay it. Put it in your table. Sit down with your kids and tell them how you came out of slavery. Tell them how you came out of bondage. Because if you don't, your kids or your grandkids will go into slavery, because they'll forget where you came from. Some of y'all are so good. You tell people they need to get in church. You know, you need to tell, you tell people to read their Bible. You tell them to pray. Those are all great things. But did you ever tell them why you started those things? Did you ever tell them why you started? There was a day when Jesus came by, and I don't know how he did it. I don't even know why he did it. But he gave me some spiritual eyes, and he took me from a dark place to an illuminated place. He took me from a place where I couldn't see to the place that the first person I seen was him, and I've been looking for him ever since. That's amazing. See, my kids know that I'm saved, but I've been saved so long now that they might get the impression that I've always been righteous, and or that it's easy, that I don't struggle. But see, there's still a blind man in here. There's still a man that lived in the dark. And he knows how to dwell in the dark. And he's constantly saying, "Remember what we used to do in the dark?" "Yeah, but I didn't like the dark. And I'm glad I got out." Some of you need to explain to your children how you got out. Then you'll explain to them how Jesus works in your life. Then church will make sense. See, because I come to church a lot of times, and man, I'm telling you, we look good at church. We do. It's intimidating. Because there's somebody in here right now who's struggling with, they're in complete darkness, and they're struggling because they think every one of us just automatically one day woke up, and God just poured a little water in, and we were good. Not so. Not so much. Then it reminded me of a guy who was, this is in Mark chapter 7, who was deaf and dumb. He couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. I've been both ways spiritually. They brought him to Jesus and they said, look, this man right here, he can't hear and he can't speak. And Jesus done some amazing stuff in his life too. I don't know why. I'm telling you right now, I don't know. I want God to touch me, but sometimes I don't know if I want him in the mode that he's touching people. Amen? I'll just do it the way he did it. He goes, that used to be a thing you tortured people with doing. Amen? If you ever had an uncle, amen? Golly. Or a real cool dad, amen? You ever be riding in a truck with your dad and all of a sudden you... If you ain't ever experienced life yet. Amen? Just done stuff like that to you. But Jesus does this. He takes his fingers and takes spittle and sticks them in the ears of the man that's deaf. Listen, I know that's weird and it sounds crazy as we're sitting here, but listen, I don't know why Jesus chooses to do stuff radically and different and weird in some people's lives, but just be glad that he does. Don't worry about the process. Nobody's process is the same because we would fall in love with the process instead of the one who makes the process. Jesus stuck his wet fingers in my ear. So, man, I wouldn't let him do that, but I can hear you. Amen? That same Jesus who had his fingers in my ear, he touched my lips. I wouldn't let him touch my lips if he's had his fingers in my ears. But I'm talking to you. I would say, son, I can hear you. I hear you, man. I hear you. I hear your joy. I hear your happiness. I hear your weirdness. I hear your pain. I see the struggle. I can speak to it. I can speak to those things now. See, we get to a place in our spiritual walk that we're hearing plainly and we're speaking plainly, but we might want to tell them every once in a while, it's not always been this easy. I've not always heard what God was saying. I've not always listened to what God said. I've not always done the right thing. I didn't hear when he said go left instead of right. I didn't hear when he said don't go, I went anyway. I didn't hear, and I've not always spoken up for God. I've not always been somebody who said the right thing. Matter of fact, I've said the wrong thing and led people in the wrong direction for a long time. But I've been saved for a while now, and I've heard the right things and I've said the right things, but I want you to know that I've not always been this way. We need to tell our children sometimes it took God opening my ears and God opening my mouth for me to be where I'm at today. It's not always been easy because some people are sitting in here and they come into our church and they don't hear the word like we hear it. And they can't speak it like we speak it. Be easy with those folks because if they're still coming, let them keep coming. God's got an amazing way of touching people when he wants to touch them. Opening eyes when he wants to open eyes. Open ears when he wants to open ears. And open mouths when he wants to open mouths. I needed to hear that. I'll just let that simmer in. God will open the mouths of your children when he wants to open them. Amen? Sometimes we want to rush the process. We want them to be preachers and prophets and teachers and spiritual leaders when they're not even right yet. We forget where we were at when God found us. I'm afraid if they get with the wrong people and do the wrong things and go down the wrong path, that God won't be able to find them. I hate to tell you this, but God's better at finding them than you are. Because God always finds them in the right place, in their hearts and minds. You can't escape God because he gets between your ears. Does anybody have God get between your ears? I can say one thing out of my mouth. God, I ain't never. You go, oh, really? Really, you're never? Let me dwell in your brain for a while. Let me just rent some unrentable space, like right between your ears, until you change your mind. Amen? There's some of you in this very room right now said, I ain't never going to go back up out of that church. Good morning. Good morning to you. I thought about the paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2. The paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2. The one that everybody had to do everything for him. He was totally dependent on everybody else. He couldn't do anything for himself. And some four men got together and took him to Jesus. He's independent now. Amen. He can get his own water. He can get his own food. He can clean his own messes up. Amen. I want to tell you this. Hey, son, I'm independent today. I'm independent. I do my own thing, man. I can clean my own messes up. I can feed myself. I can drink as much water, Gatorade, as I want to. I'm good. I can go just about anywhere I want to go. I can do just about anything I want to do. But there was a time that I was paralyzed. Spiritually, I was paralyzed. He had me paralyzed. I couldn't do anything spiritually. Somebody would say, you need to pray. I couldn't pray because I didn't even know the Father. I didn't even know how to pray. I talked to him, but I didn't believe in him. How's God going to answer a prayer to somebody who don't even believe that he exists? Read your Bible. My dad got me one of the coolest Bibles I ever had. It went through with me all the sinful places of my life. Anybody ever have a Bible tag along with you during the sinful days? Goodness, I hated that Bible. It was burgundy. I'll probably never own another burgundy Bible the rest of my life. Somebody right now is going back and trying to get an exchange. I'm going to buy the pastor a burgundy Bible. Sorry. Give me a burgundy Bible, and it followed me. I remember many times in single apartments. I lived in this place. If y'all don't mind, I'm just going to take my time. I lived in this place called Water Level Apartments. I figured out why they call it Water Level. Because every time it rained real hard, the water was really level in my apartment. Amen? I'm serious. I would sometimes get up in the morning and turn and put your feet on the ground, and it would sound like this. Whoosh. I was like amazed. I was like, wow, there's an inch of water in the floors. So I would tread through the whole apartment, go up to the landlord's apartment, which was on the hill. Imagine that. His was on the hill. And I would knock on the door, and I'd say, it rained really hard last night. And he'd say, yeah, what about it? He said, there's about a half inch of water, maybe more, in my floor. He said, what do you want me to do about it? I said, I would like for you to get it cleaned out or give me some money back. He would say, neither one of those are going to happen. Welcome to Water Level Apartments. Amen. So I would go back to my apartment. I'd be so upset and so angry because I had to pull everything out of my apartment and wet vac everything. But every time I did, I would see this little burgundy Bible, right? This little burgundy Bible. It was beside the beer cans and beer bottles and incense lights and all the other stuff that we would do weird back then. Some of y'all are sitting here going right now, I can't believe you're saying that. But it's kind of weird because somebody said, why did you have the incense things? Well, the incense things were to knock the smell down in the apartment that would flood every time that rained real hard. But also they put off a really cool glowy light when you didn't pay your electric bill because you went out and partied and still paying your water bill or your electric bill. Sorry. That's who I was. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. I used to do that. Spiritually paralyzed. And you know who people had to come and clean my mess up? And my dad would tell me all the time, you need to read that Bible. I say, I'm trying, Dad. I'm trying. I said, when I get this one, and I try to read it, I'll read about three or four paragraphs, and I don't get it. You need to get in church. That was the good one, right? need to get in church. I'm like, all right, I'll get in church. Every once in a while, when I felt real bad, I'd go to church. And church is like a roller coaster ride. It is. You get in at the same spot. You get in with everybody else, and you ride along. And when you see everybody else's hands come up, you put your hands up. Oh, come on. And you go up and down and all around. And when the ride's over, you get up, you get out, you go on the same way you came in. Some people are euphoric. Somebody are having an exciting time. Some of them are walking out going, thank God that's over. I'm never getting back on that thing ever again. Because I had no idea what those things meant to me because I was spiritually dead. I was paralyzed. You're telling a paralyzed person they need to do something that they can't do anything spiritually. What you need to tell them is, I was just like you. I was paralyzed just like you. I was that way. In Luke chapter 10, there was a man who was half dead. He was coming down from Jericho, and the thieves jumped him and stripped him naked and left him half dead. I was half dead for 30 years of my life, Peyton. I was dead for 30 years. I didn't have a hope of getting into heaven. I was 30 years old and on my way to hell. But guess what? The thief robbed me, left me spiritually naked, and left me half dead. Thank God I was only half dead. Because like the Good Samaritan in this story, Jesus came by. And you say, why did Jesus always say, why did he say Good Samaritan? Because the Jews hated the Samaritans. And that's who he was talking to, a Jewish man. He's saying there was a good guy in the story. He's a Samaritan. He said, well, why would we want to hear about somebody that everybody hated, but he does the right thing? Because the Samaritan represents Jesus. Jesus comes into your life when you're naked spiritually and you're half dead, and he puts you on his beast, he heals your wounds, and he puts you in a place where you can grow and heal. And if it all don't get taken care of, he says, I'll come back and pay the whole debt later. God. Do y'all remember that guy? Now I'm going to preach on two right here, but I don't know about the one, so I'm going to have to take some of y'all's, I'm going to take liberty with it. There was a story in Luke 15. It's really good. It's when Jesus sat down with publicans and sinners and ate with them. It says in Luke chapter 15, 1, he said the Pharisees and the scribes were angry with Jesus. They were upset with him. Because Jesus, what he done, he walked in some place and he sat down with publicans and sinners, tax collectors and sinners. He just sat down with them. He sat right down in the midst of them. Do you remember when Jesus sat down in your life? When he shouldn't have? When you were real thirsty and you didn't know how thirsty you were? When you were a sinner and you didn't know how bad of a sinner you were? See, the sinners and the tax collectors, they knew right away. This is crazy. Why is this spiritual, holy man, this righteous man, sitting at my table? I can still tell you the day when Jesus sat down in my life. I was a sinner, and I couldn't figure out why he was wanting to have any time with me. Some of you need to sit down with your kids, no matter where they're at in their life, and love on them anyway. Have a relationship with them anyway. Dine with them anyway. Love them anyway. Never mind. These are the worst of the worst people. They were publicans and sinners. Nobody religious would have anything to do with them. And Jesus just walked in the room and sat down and ate what they ate and drank what they drank. Oh, y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Some of you in this room have had Jesus sit in your life when he should have never sat in your life. All this means is when he said when he sat with them and he ate with them, that means he had a relationship with them when he should not have had a relationship with them. Some of you are looking at your kids and you're going, I can't handle what they're doing, so I'm not going to sit with them and I'm not going to talk with them and I'm not going to until they change. They're not going to change until you love them correctly. They're not going to change until you say, I'll love you despite of who you are, but guess what? The reason I got out of my mess was because of Jesus. Oh, Because I guarantee you, when they sat down, not every one of them guys were going, man, I'm glad Jesus is here. I want to get saved right now. I bet every one of them was going, this is going to ruin this whole meal. Because I know when Jesus sat down in my life, I said, he's going to ruin my whole life. Some of y'all are thinking that Jesus is going to ruin your whole life. He's a life maker, not a life breaker. He sat down in that table and he told a story about a prodigal son. Amen? One part of it was about a prodigal son. Mark, I can tell you the whole story about that guy. You know why? I was that guy. Amen? I was absolutely that guy. See, he told a story about a Jewish boy who ended up feeding hogs in a hog pen. Eating husk. In other words, eating stuff that he should have never put in his body. Right? I know that story well because I remember a couple of times in my sin where I was in places that I said I would never go. Doing stuff that I said I would never do. I'll never do that. And the devil said, oh yeah, you will. I'll take you to that very place and a little bit further than you ever thought you would never go. Amen? Took me all the way down there. You know what? Been there so many times. He talked about the sinners, the publicans and sinners, the tax collectors were sitting at the table looking at him going like this. You're talking about me, ain't you? You're talking about me. My whole life's been in the hog pen. See, the husk were the things that were left over that hogs wouldn't eat. Well, I guess we ain't got many hog farmers. Trying to find something a hog won't eat is pretty rare. Hogs eat everything. Amen? And he's sitting there going, man, I'd really like to have that. Chris, I ain't going to tell on myself, but there was times where I kind of found myself on hands and knees, looking around for stuff, searching for things, trying to feel what couldn't be filled. Looked foolish. Boy, I did. I looked foolish for a while. Rolling around in the hog pen, looking for these things just to get by. God sat down in my life. Whew. See, when I first came to the Father, Peyton, he didn't clean me up first. I still smelled like the world. I still smelled like the hog pen. When I first came to Jesus, I still had a little residue in me and on me. Just being honest. But when I came to myself, nobody's ever going to save you. It's going to be Jesus and you. See, it said when he came to himself, mama can't save you, daddy can't save you, police can't save you, them can't save you. See, he was sitting in that hog pen, he said, everybody at my dad's house, everybody at Jesus' house is doing better than me. I'm down here begging for husk when I could be eating bread in my daddy's house. And he jumped the rail and headed home. And I can relate to that story. I want to tell my son, man, I spent most of my life in a hog pen. You don't have to. You don't have to. But he can take you there. Life can. But there was another guy. I can't preach on him, Mark. I don't know anything about this guy. He's the wickedest Bible. He's the wickedest guy in the whole book. I can't tell you about this guy. He's the other son. He's the wickedest one. God always saves the son who runs off into town and spends his riotous living first. Because they know they're jacked up. But the hardest person for Jesus to save is the person who thinks they're almost good enough to get into heaven without him. That's the worst person. That's the person who looks at God and says, I don't even know if I really need you or not. I'm pretty good. I don't drink. I don't lie, I don't smoke, I don't do this and I don't do that. I'm probably just a little bit better than anybody else. If I had some real people in here who would look at their sons and daughters and go, that was me. I almost missed heaven because I thought I was good enough. What a fool I was. Some of y'all need to tell your testimony different. Because I hear some of you say, I ain't really got a powerful testimony. Oh, yes, you do. Because you are full of self-righteousness. And you thought that Jesus really didn't have to do much work on you, but he had to change your mind and he had to change your God because you are God. I've met the worst of the worst. I've met some of the worst of the worst. I've been in prisons, I've been in jails, I've been in rehabs, but hardly any of those people will ever say, I was about good enough. They'll always say this, I knew I wasn't good enough. But it's the guy down the street, it's the guy across the way who's lived most of his life into his 70s and 80s and 90s, in her 70s and her 80s and her 90s, who sits there and goes, I'm just as good as anybody who goes to that church. You're absolutely correct, because none of us are any good. One day we had to come to an end of ourselves and recognize that our sin would keep us out of hell just like the worst of the worst people would. Some of y'all look at me sometimes and say, man, you're so transparent about your testimony and what you tell. You know why I am? Because there's other people who are sitting in their sin right now and they don't think there's any way out, and we're keeping ours silent because we want to look spiritual. We want to show our strengths instead of our weaknesses. You'll never rescue anybody by going in and going, look how great I am. You'll have to go in first and say, I was just like you when God rescued me. When I met Jesus, I was so thirsty. Peyton, I was so thirsty and didn't know it. But then I read a scripture in John 19:27. Jesus hung on a cross. 19:27, I think it's verse 30. Jesus hung on a cross for me. For me. He hung there. And one of the last things that ever came out of his mouth was, I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. Jesus got thirsty where I wouldn't have to remain thirsty through eternity. I was spiritually thirsty. I was without being able to quench the thirst of my soul. And Jesus hung on a cross and said, I thirst. I thirst. So when we're in eternity for about 10,000 years, I can look over at you and you can look over at me and say, I'm not thirsty. I'm not thirsty. See, in my spirit man right now, I'm not thirsty anymore. Peyton, I'm not thirsty anymore. I'm spiritually filled. God cured the thirst that I had. But before that day, Peyton, I was blind. I was deaf. I was dumb. I was half dead. I was thirsty. And you know what he did for me? He came along in that mess. So if you ever get in a mess, if you ever get a place in your life where you're blind, deaf, can't speak, half naked, never knowing what you're going to do with your life, let me tell you what I did. I cried out to Jesus. And I told him, I said, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for you. And it changed my whole life. I see now. I see you. And I hear now. And I hear you. I speak now. I speak into your life. Man, I'm clothed now, but I wouldn't. If you ever need anything, go to Jesus. When you're 30 years old, go to Jesus. When you're 40 years old, go to Jesus. When you're 50 years old, go to Jesus. When you're 60 years old, go to Jesus. Never be afraid to go to Jesus. When nobody else will go to Jesus, go to Jesus. Fathers, mothers, it's about time we get together with our family and tell them where we came from. Where we're not taking our grandchildren and our children and trying to get them out of the slavery that we used to be in. Let's all stand. As Scott comes, get a song. Y'all just be obedient to the Lord this morning.